accession number 21276, Reel 6.
Jeff Eason, Reel 6. So was there any celebration? I mean, were you on your own on that?
We were on our own, as usual. We were parked in the middle of a field somewhere, and celebrations are a bit difficult to arrange, but we did tour the countryside and towed in, I don't know, 8 or 9 or 10 vehicles and piled them on top of a petrol tanker and set fire to the lot. And of course the lads in Lübeck, who'd been to Lübeck, had got all this hooch from the bonded warehouse. They were all as tight as ticks. Anybody could have taken us then. Yes, I say, I think I was the only sober bloke there.
So that was VE Day then?
That was VE Day, and of course later when the newspapers came and all the shenanigans going on in London, I thought, oh yeah, it's all right for them. And there we were, up to our eyeballs in muck and mud.
So did the atmosphere change?
I suppose there was a relaxation of tension, yes, because whilst the thing was ongoing, you never knew what to expect. You never knew what was round the next corner, who was coming up, or what was on its way. So I suppose the tension eased considerably. And of course, those who'd been hiding in the woodwork came out, and like Sir John Whatnot, who in his turret, I suppose, he will have got out in daylight.
So were there a lot of sort of Germans emerging, German troops or...
Well, after that flush in Lübeck, we didn't see an awful lot of them, no. I don't know what happened to them all, I'm sure. But most of the built-up areas, such as they were, that we saw, were occupied by women and old men, for the most part. What did surprise me during the whole, after D-Day, in France, Belgium and Holland, were the hundreds and hundreds of young men who I couldn't understand hadn't been called up or used or in some way or other. I used to think to myself, well, what am I doing your dirty work for you? Mm. Yes.
But it's with young Germans?
No, well, natives, you know.
Yeah.
They,
wherever, yeah.
Yeah. Don't know where they'd come from. Mm.
Mm. So where to after that then?
Well, after Lübeck, we went to a place called Husum, which was in Schleswig-Holstein, on the not far from the Danish border. And there was, I think it was there, there was a party ordered, of which I was one, to go and arrest Martin Bormann. Remember Martin Bormann? Yes. But, of course, we had to be smartly dressed, and they gave us 2 hours to prepare our kit, by which time, of course, he'd long gone.
So they knew where he was, then?
Well, they thought they did, anyway. They must have thought so.
Yeah. How many of you were going?
Oh, there were a dozen of us altogether, yeah. Oh, dear. A daft thing. And we were in civilian houses there, too. And there were one or two snipers hidden in the trees too, but we never caught the devils at it. They used to put pot shots through windows and things. It did them no good at all. Mm. But
how long did you stay there?
Not long, because it was in June, I think. It was in June. I got posted to the 8th King's Royal Irish.
Oh, right. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
This was June 45.
This is, yes. This is part of the difficulty. Yeah. Having been in three regiments.
Yes.
And five civil service departments, it's difficult to remember who was in which.
That's it, yeah. That was the King's Royal Irish, was it?
Eighth King's Royal Irish, yes. Right. Uh-huh. Mm.
So what sort of a mob were they?
Well, they were all right, I suppose, but there were very few Irishmen about. Uh-huh. I enjoyed the distinction once of threatening to put a sergeant major in jail because I was so brushed off and I was furious. Yes, sorry.
It's all right.
Yes, I threatened to put him in clink. Yeah. It was, just imagine it, it was, I know, about 30 degrees below, at least.
Where was this?
This was at another place called Itzehoe. Mm-hmm. And for my sins, for the first and only time in my life, I was on guard duty. It's the only time I've ever been played with it. Never had it to do it before, or since. And I was on guard. I got a brazier outside the sentry box by the main gate, and I was frozen, bitterly cold. And here's this figure comes up the road, singing his blooming silly head off, shouting and bawling and all sorts of noise. And I said, what was it, about 11:30? And I said, if you don't shut up, I said, I'll have you in that clink before you can bat your eye. And he was so impressed, he shut up. Yeah. And the story went round the next day. Oh dear! But we were in German army barracks. No heating.
Really?
No heating. Oh. It was cold. The coldest I've ever experienced in my life.
What were you doing there? Your...
Wasting time mostly.
Right.
Wasting time, just fiddling about. I went skiing every day. And, it was at Houston. I used to go swimming. I went swimming for weeks and weeks and weeks every afternoon because we had nothing else to do. Yeah. See? It was the only activity I allowed myself on the athletic side was swimming. Mm-hmm. That's what I did at school, you see. Yeah. The dodge cricket and the rest of it.
Yeah. So you really were just kicking your heels?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely, kicking our heels.
So where did you say goodbye to your tanks and your armoured car and whatnot?
Oh, that was from Itzehoe.
Right.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Were you sorry to see the back of your armoured car?
Well, not entirely, no. I don't think so. Mm. I'm sorry I can't show you a picture of it.
That's all right.
I've got right. one. And yeah. Can yeah, I lay my hands on it? No.
Yeah.
But
so how long did you stay with the King's Royal Irish?
Well, that would be... That would be from October 45,
uh-huh.
and until June 47.
Oh, right.
Mm.
So, October 45.
We had a sergeant major there. Typical sergeant major, thick as two planks. They tended to promote those people who wouldn't argue, you see, or had no original ideas. They just did as they were told. Officers liked that. And we had this lad here. There were a lot of complaints about soldiers not reading standing orders, which were posted up each day, showing who was to do what and where and names and all the rest of it. There were a lot of complaints that people hadn't been reading standing orders and things had been falling apart. So the sergeant major was detailed off to read them to us on parade every morning at 8:30, you see. Unfortunately, the sergeant major couldn't read. Yes, he used to... Well, at least he couldn't read anything with more than four... No words with more than four letters in. And he used to... He had a sergeant standing by him, you see. And he used to say, "What's that say, Sean? What's that say?" Oh, dear. You really do meet them.
Yeah.
Yes.
Music hall
term. Yes, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. And you don't snigger.
So, I mean, you didn't actually do anything with the Royal Irish?
No.
You didn't do any driving or...?
Didn't do anything, no.
You just literally just...
Well, it's not true. We did. We were sent off on beagle hunting once. Beagles and hares. Was it hares they were after?
So, yes.
Yes. And we discovered that nature takes a course like that for hares. They always.
That's right. They go round in big circles.
They go round in a big circle.
That's right.
So we sat down behind the bush waiting for them coming back.
So you were following on foot.
The officers, of course, toured the countryside and found some horses to play with. And we had a gymkhana one day, and as a joke, I suppose, they put me on the biggest horse that was there, about 17 hands, and I promptly fell off, and that was the end of my horsemanship. But otherwise, it was a complete and utter waste of time.
Yeah. I suppose it's almost like some sort of holiday, really.
Well, nearly. In fact, we did have a holiday. We went to the Frisian Islands.
Oh, yeah.
And there was a camp there of Aryan mothers. And the children in this camp were beautiful. Blonde haired, dark eyebrows. Beautiful looking children they were. They really, really were. Most impressive. And
what were these Aryan mothers like?
Well, they were like Aryan mothers, I suppose, but mostly for the blonde part, which puzzled me a bit because they had this Aryan image, but Hitler and his gang, none of them looked like it, did they?
Yes, he definitely wasn't Aryan, was
no,
he?
I mean, no, was no, no. Anything but.
Yeah.
Anything but.
Strange. So how long have they been there?
I don't know, but some
how
years.
How old were the children?
Oh, some of the, there were must have been four or five, I suppose, about that age, six maybe. Mm.
Were they living, I don't know what the Frisian Islands are like, are they a sort of rural place?
Yes,
then?
Oh yes, yeah. Yes. Yes, they were up the other end somewhere, and there was some camp, I didn't see it, but they were up the other end somewhere.
Yeah. And but they were walking about in the village where they were.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Was anything said about Hitler's sort of...
No, nobody knew him.
Didn't understand. What
such
what
we had some working parties in the camp, in our camp at Itzehoe, German cleaners and the like. You know, none of them liked Hitler. Oh no. They all denied any association at all.
Yes, it was nobody supported him once he'd lost, did they? Who were you fighting? When you were fighting the war, were you fighting Germans or Nazis or Hitler?
I think we were fighting Nazis, really.
Right.
Yes. I mean, we came up against some fanatics once or twice.
Did you?
Yeah, real dyed-in-the-wool fanatics who would slit your throat as soon as look at you.
Yeah.
You know, and
are those SS or...?
That's right, kind of thing. Or Hitler Youth were terrible young people. They got themselves killed totally unnecessarily. I mean, they would push it to the end, and it was futile and it was silly. They needn't have died at all. No.
Did you come up against any Hitler Youth anywhere?
Not latterly, no. Not latterly, but we saw them amongst prisoners occasionally.
Did you?
Yeah.
How young were they?
Oh, only teenagers, you know, 16, 15. Yeah. Not old enough to know anything about anything.
Yeah.
Rather sad. Mm. And I think they're slightly ashamed at having been caught. And but they were frightened as well. So it was a mixture.
So you didn't have any particular duties all this time in Itzehoe?
No. Just that one night, I don't know how I managed to dodge it, I'm sure. Oh, I used to go fishing as well a lot, yes. Yeah. I got a picture of me catching fish somewhere. I don't know where that is. Yeah. And one of them, I caught a freshwater crayfish. Yeah. Never seen one in my life before.
Yeah. So it came to an end, though, in June 47.
Yes, yes. We were packed off home, and on the way home, we went over the first bridge to be put over the Rhine, which was rather alarming, because it seemed to be constructed of telegraph poles rammed into the riverbed, you see, with the rails laid on top.
Yeah.
And the whole thing was going like this. And the train went about 3 miles an hour. No doors and windows on the train.
Really?
No.
Goodness.
And we were on it for 36 hours.
Oh,
me being small and agile, I was up on the luggage rack, so...
Were you all Fife and Forfers going home, or you were all King's Royal Irish?
Oh, the King's Royal Irish, yeah.
Right. Were there any other Fife and Forfers in the King's?
No, I don't know what happened to the rest of them at all.
Oh.
I don't know, but I assume that they were all split up to different units for whatever reason. Yeah.
All the time you've been in, since you've gone to Europe, had you had any leave or anything?
Have I gone back?
Yes, any leave or...
Well, yeah. I've been to Ostend and Ypres.
Oh, no, sorry, I mean when you were in Europe.
Yes.
While you were serving, did you get any leave?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. The thing was that when D-Day came along, I was due for leave.
Right.
I hadn't had any for 6 months.
Uh-huh.
So D-Day came along, and it was another 12 months before I got any more leave, you see.
Right.
So it was 18 months. Between home leaves.
Yes, yeah. Did you have any leave while you were with the King's Royal Irish?
Yes, yes, I did. I got married on one of them.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
So you came back to Britain.
In October 45.
Right. So what was it like coming back to Britain after all you'd been through? Because you'd been through a lot.
Well, there were no welcoming parties, no flags and bunting. Nobody knew I was there.
Really?
Nobody noticed. No,
yeah.
No,
yeah.
Nothing.
While you were in Europe, had you kept in touch with family and sweetheart and whatnot by letter?
Well, family, yes. My letters to my wife, she never found out for years, till not long before she died. But, of course, time was at a premium. I hadn't got time to sit down and write letters every day. So whenever I had the opportunity, I used to sit and write 7 or 8 of them and then post them at intervals. That's the best I could think of.
Yeah,
because there just wasn't time. You could never be sure whether you'd have time tomorrow or even tonight.
But you'd been getting letters fairly regularly, had you?
Oh, yeah, getting letters and the odd parcel and fags from John Players, which I sold because I didn't smoke them.
Oh, right, that was a good idea.
Yeah.
So you came back, and when did you have to go to be demobbed?
Oh, York.
York.
Mm.
Yeah. What experience was that like?
Oh, there was a bit of fun there, because there was a quartermaster sergeant who'd forgotten his greatcoat, and he had to pay for one.
No,
I thought that was brilliant. Yeah.
So you handed all your stuff in.
Yeah.
And they gave you a lovely suit.
Yeah. Oh dear.
Was it sad?
Well, in a way, I suppose you feel cast adrift, if you like. You're on your own. And indeed I was, because nobody evinced the slightest interest in me at all.
Mm.
I went to the appointments office in the Ministry of Labour, as then was. How old are you? He said. So I said, 23. Oh, he said, you're getting on a bit to expect somebody to teach you the business. So I told him to boil his head, and I came out.
So what did you go to do?
Well, as I say, it's not what you know, it's who you know. And since I didn't know anybody who was going to be the slightest use, the only thing I could think of, and it looked like a solid, secure, permanent job, was in the coal mines. And I got taken on as a management trainee.
Oh, right, in Nottingham.
In Nottingham, yes. And that involved going underground. Before you can take on management, you've got to put in time underground, 2 years minimum, you see. and so I had to work underground. I didn't mind that too much. Oh, no, wonderful lot of fellows, but they were taken advantage of by the unions, I think. And it wasn't an explosion we had one night. It was, they have a euphemism, it was an ignition. It doesn't sound quite so bad. And there was a fella killed, and I'd heard enough bangs to last me a long time, so I packed it in. And I was told by the Ministry of Labour that I couldn't leave. There's a ring fence round it, you can't leave. So I said, well, make up your mind to it, I've gone. And I left, but it was a pity, really. And yet, in the long run, it turned out to be a good thing, because all the mines shut, didn't they? Yeah.
Was it it was the noise of the explosion that you couldn't cope with?
Well, it was not just the noise, but you could feel the blast. Yes.
Well, I suppose that brought back.
Yeah.
Yeah. You were sort of sensitised, weren't you? Yeah. That sort of thing. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. When you left the army, did you get nightmares?
Well, not to any great degree, no. Events used to be on my mind a great deal, but I've always been fortunate in being able to sleep pretty well.
Right.
But, no, I wouldn't say nightmares, no. Mm. No, that's putting it too strongly, no.
But you couldn't...
No, I couldn't talk about the events. Mm. It was more than 30 years before I spoke about it. Mm. Nobody was interested anyway. Sure. Nobody wanted to know. Mm. And... if I evinced any interest on things on television, my wife didn't like it. She thought it would be upsetting. And true enough, sometimes it was. But I wanted to get a bit of it out of my system, you see. But she didn't understand that. I did have a letter from her mother on one occasion, not long after I'd gone over to France. And she says, I hope you're not doing anything dangerous.
No.
What did you think I was doing in an armoured regiment?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, dear. No, no. Well, as I said to you earlier, I think I wasn't aware of the scale of the devastation in southern England, in London and Plymouth and those places, Portsmouth. There was just what's the word?
There wouldn't be the information, would there? No. It'd be very bad for morale if people realised how bad.
Well, it could be. It could be indeed. Yes, you can understand it.
Mm. Oh yes. Mm. Yeah. So then, after leaving the mines.
Yes, I packed that in, and I got a job. Well, eventually, I went to the SSAFA.
Oh yes.
Soldiers, sailors, airmen's, whatnot. You see, because I needed a little green card. To look for another job, which the Ministry of Labour wouldn't give me.
Yeah.
So I went to SAFA and explained all the things, and they gave me a green card, which enabled me to look for get another job.
Yeah.
And I did get a temporary job in a engineering works down the meadows in Nottingham, but I didn't like it. And eventually, after only a few months, I chucked that in and I got a job as a temporary clerk grade 3 in the civil service, dealing with oils and fats.
Uh-huh.
And by degrees, and I like to think a bit of hard work and application, I got up to senior executive officer in charge of audit and training. So I didn't do too badly.
Yeah. And you stayed there for the rest of your career, didn't
you? I did. The worst employer in England, the government.
Really?
Yes.
You spent all your life working for them.
That's right.
Didn't you?
Yeah. Yes, they are the very worst employers.
Yeah. How do you think the army or the government has treated you as an old soldier?
Well, they haven't treated me at all as an old soldier. Nobody's ever come nigh to buy. They asked me how I was. Are you all right? Is there anything you want? No one. I've never seen anyone. The only contact I've had is with some of my old colleagues in the Regimental Association. The Sassenach branch of the 5 and 4.
So, I mean, what do you think about... I mean, you don't get a pension or anything from the army?
Well, it's not quite true. It did me a favour in one way, because becoming established in the civil service... half my war service counted towards my pension. So I got 2.5 years extra to count towards my pension. So whilst it's not an army pension, it worked out a bit like that. So I'm very fortunate. Instead of getting 35 years pension, I get 37.5 years.
Right. Oh, well, I suppose that's something. It's not enough to change your life, I don't suppose. So, when all through your army service, did you have any contact or did you see padres? I mean, there must have been padres.
Yes, there was a padre in the Fife and Forfers who excited my admiration.
Yeah.
Yes, not because of his beliefs or anything, but because of what he did.
Mm.
He took it on himself to clean out the vehicles with bodies that had been burnt. And
really? Mm. Did he? That was a real service, wasn't it? Yes. Yeah, a real rotten job. that he took on. That's very impressive, actually.
Yeah,
I'm impressed with that. Yes, he was actually doing something to save other people doing it, wasn't
Well.
He? Oh. What was, do you remember his name?
Do I know his name? No, I don't.
No.
I'm told he was wounded. Not long after Aston. But where he went and what happened to him, I don't know.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. He was just Padre.
Yes.
No idea.
Did he come round and talk to you? You know, did he sort of...
Oh, we dropped across him from time to time, but it was only passing the time of day, really. There was no sort of proselytising or anything.
Mm. You'd have had church parade, I suppose.
No,
when
we
you were
didn't.
In camp
no,
yeah.
No, we
but
didn't.
Not once you were abroad.
No,
yeah.
No.
Yeah. Did you go to church parades in?
Well,
when you were in camp.
Hello.
Would you care for a cup of tea?
I'd love a cup of tea, thank you. Yes, thank you. Just once. Right. Oh, do you want to come around here?
Right, the back and go.
So do you think the church played just a part in the army? Really?
Well, it was a bind, really. It was a nuisance. We didn't like it.
Really?
And I'm told that that Montgomery issued an order on one occasion that there should be no compulsory church attendances.
Really?
Yeah. Which would have suited us all fine. Because I'd been to a church school, you see. The Blue Coat School. You had to have been baptised into the Church of England. And it had been a 7-day-a-week job at school, Saturdays and Sundays as well, you see, choir and all the rest of it. And
so you weren't about to do that again.
In other words, I'd had the cure.
Yeah.
Sugar.
One sugar, please.
One sugar.
Yes. That's
it. No milk. And milk.
And milk. Yes, please. You're right.
Yes, I'd taken the cure. You see, I'm afraid I'm at best an agnostic and maybe an atheist, but you can't be an atheist unless you can prove it. So I'm an agnostic.
That's okay. I mean, you had some slight contacts with the RAMC, didn't you?
I took
that chap back. And
yes.
Occasions,
oh yes. We've taken them back to hospitals and seen them put in rows with German soldiers amongst them. You know, all the lot. Nobody didn't matter.
No. What did you think of the RAMC and the service?
Well, I think they did very well under very, very difficult circumstances, because bearing in mind you're out in the open for the most part and you've got to invent a lot of things, I think. Yes, I was quite impressed.
Would they have trucks coming out, you know?
No, we didn't see trucks. We used to ferry our own blokes down there. What are you doing now?
Sorry, I forgot.
Make that Jeff Eason, end of reel 6.